took the perm.
Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like no sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They tour around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now?
Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting booed? Shit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? There'll be many of you now. Do you really think they're ready for you now?
Real revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn early? Whoa!
You're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, tell her then, heaven rain.
Underground Radio. What's going on, everybody out there in radio, well, internet radio land? We got my girl from Central State University, educator on the front lines of this teacher strike out here, Ms. Tara Stamps, who was on our program yesterday. We're going to bring her back on again today to give us a breakdown on what transpired on the strike. Our numbers again is 347-838-9825. I'll be right back, everybody, after this commercial break.
Prosperity Partners presents a spiritual guide to personal success and development seminar. Discover how to live a more prosperous life when applying key spiritual principles. February 18th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., 405 Briarwood Drive, Jackson. $25 registration fee. For more info, call 601-918-2729. That's 601-918-2729. Come out and dare to prosper in 2012.
My bad, everybody. We pressed the wrong commercial break. Sorry about that.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. The Jazz Cafe is one of the main distributors of the Organo Gold Coffee. It gives natural energy delivered right to your doorstep.
If you want to order your coffee today, contact Shauna at 601-918-2079 or go to 601jazzcafe.organogold.com.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe.
First 10. Explain the genealogy of Shem. Shem was a black man in Africa. If you repeat this fact, they can't laugh at you.
Get out of there, guys.
14 verse 13.
Ruled 6 AD, was it the school? As a result, ignorance
Aztec scroll over Christian Europe and Greco-Roman world. This went on for 1,000 years of ignorance, stupidity, and tears. Now comes the 17th century hardness. Europe began to come out of its darkness. From Johann F. Blumenbach, a German, came out of nowhere and started confirming white supremacy and men of color. Before this time, all men were brothers. It was Johann who went on to say, there are 5 different colors in the world today. That's Caucasian, Malayan, and Mongolian, American Indian, and Ethiopian. Yet, the ignorance gets scarier. He believed white was superior. According to his idiotic fountain, the purest whites were from the Caucasus Mountains. J.A. Goldwiner and H.S. Chamberlain both supported this outrageous racism. This went on to what the master race should be and why they killed the Jews in Germany. Here is the reason why I'm so concerned, because you must learn. We're not done. Check this out.
Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio. Let's go see what the people are talking about on the strikes that they say here. The teachers have not came to an agreement. Well, I assume they come to agreement. My sources says that it was 30% to continue the strike, 70% to end the strike. But the media is saying 90% for the strike and 98% for the strike and 2% was against the strike. I don't know which one I would like to go to. I'm waiting for some comments from Ms. Tara Stamps, who I had on yesterday, and a lot of my listeners enjoyed her passionate delivery about education. I'm going to have her on again, and I'm trying to get a hold of two other sisters, Athena Troy and Lisa Wyatt. They've both also been on the front lines, and they are delegates. I've been seeing Ms. Wyatt a lot on TV. She's been back and forth and on the radio, passionately talking about the situation. I would like to see, I'm going to ask my guests when they come on, if the strike dealt with their pension problems, one, because the pension problem is going to be hitting everybody in the pocket left and right. Two, is this a West Side, South Side versus North Side? And what I mean is that will teachers from the South Side, will they in the North Side, will they lose their jobs over favor of the teachers from the North Side? Basically what I'm trying to say, will teachers on the South Side schools become closed? In the West Side, where their schools become closed in the this attrition point of view, where the teachers are being judged by the principals, and the school closings, will most of the school closings be ticking in African-American neighborhoods? These are questions I would like to know. I'm waiting on them to call right now, so while I'm waiting on them, let me use some Braille. This is for the people.
Braille. A little something for the people. Bruh, I think y'all should listen.
And talk about the victim last night that got popped. And who the best on the block with the crack rock? Play a lot of pocket banging till the track stop. It's in our nature to run into this jackpot. Hoping not to scrape the flow for that rah-rah. But you envision that Tristan's is in my ties. The anticipation turns to aggravation. So when words of wisdom, so you hear blah blah. Cause if that wise guy turns to a wise guy, I pray to God that that guy ain't on a high rise. And if he is, I hope the earth he got 9 lives. See, this is the type of life I seen with my eyes. So boys whipping in the ghost fire on the 9 to 5, but no bow ties. Cause when Jay's on the street, you're solo, no lie. All black attire, shooting with a bow tie.
A time comes when silence is betrayal. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy. especially in time of war.
And watch a nigga kill another nigga. So one dead, one in jail, so soon there'll be no niggas. They scamming for the dope, nigga. I can't trust them, I don't know them. Them yo niggas. I need the source, they either leave or buy. Cause these niggas don't care if I breathe or die. So put your pride aside and let your wings fly. Don't be a middleman, be the man who supplies. The definition of a boss, let it multiply. And if they oppose that, they all can die. Cause if they move fast, that's when them cautions fly. So I'd rather be alive than a homicide. Feel my spirit, see my girl and my mama cry. And all my niggas pouring liquor for the honor. I vow to be the realest without ever saying it. So serious, I ain't kidding, nigga, who you playing with?
Where our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rank of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Fucking the same chick your man had last week. Now he's emotional, so now you got beef. Instead of him checking out who the hoe be, next thing you know, he let go free. To the chest. Now we gotta lay another brother down to rest. That wall getting full, cause y'all full of the bull. No more love or lust, cause all they do now is cool. 15 years old, not even in school. But he know mathematics better than you. A community that knows everything about you. But when it goes down, they don't know what to do. What type of sense is that? No clue. So instead of waiting for them, you make the first move. Instead of talking about the victim last night that got popped, or who the best on the block with the crack rock.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, still question the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Jimmy's Underground Radio. Let's see what the mayor of Chicago was talking about today, everybody.
Our parents will have more school choices, and our children will have more educational time. That is what it means to have a new day and a new direction for Chicago's children. With this agreement, our teachers will receive higher pay, and our students will have a higher standard of education. Chicago is a national leader in putting in place the National Common Core Curriculum to raise standards in math and reading. We are making the college attendant the expectation, not the exception, for all our students. We have taken $500 million out of our central office and put that money back to work in our classrooms where it belongs. We will save where we can so that we invest where we must, in the classroom and the future of our children. I want to thank the negotiators on both sides who worked hard to forge this agreement. I want to thank parents and taxpayers for their patience. I want to thank you for turning that off. No. I want to thank again all parents, the nonprofits, principals, religious leaders, and concerned citizens who worked together to support our students.
Jean-Claude in the front.
During the strike. We showed that we are not just a city of big shoulders.
Jean-Claude.
We are a city of big hearts. Now our students and our teachers and our principals can return to classrooms across our city where Chicago's future is being shaped. Now that the negotiations are over, our most important work begins, providing every child and every community of Chicago an education to match their potential.
See, he said that to match their potential. That's my sticking point, to match their potential, everybody. And he says only 25% of the people in the African-American community is going to graduate anyway, so is he going to match our potential to 25% of African-Americans? But that's just me talking, everybody. You ain't got to follow the man in, you know, down a rabbit hole. Let's hear what Karen Lewis had to say about this today, everybody. Look at that Ken Lewis quote. They have me log it up. Okay, while we getting this Ken Lewis quote, we're going to talk about the issue I'm trying to get at. I can't really have a hard time pulling it up. It says it's playing now, but I can't get it. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at this Ken Lewis quote while my engineer is trying to get to that. He says up to his and her potential is what the key word he said to that. Now, when he said his and her potential, to me, that just sent an alarm rising up in my mind. It sent an alarm rising up in my mind because I know how he feels about the potential of Africans here in the city. Now, most people don't feel like I feel, but he also said only 25% of African Americans was going to go someplace, anywhere. You know, so when he makes a statement that his and her, that each child, each parent can have his or her child with adequate education up to their potential. When you think that you send a kid to school for them to, this Ken Lewis, everybody.
Grateful that we have a united union, and that when a union moves together, amazing things happen.
Can you tell us about the kids going back to school tomorrow?
They will be.
Can you tell us the status? Did your members or the delegates vote on the agreement as well?
No, they didn't have to. It's an advisory vote. People were actually elated to take the suspension of the strike vote. Someone called for an adjournment of the meeting, and as you all know, by Robert's Rules of Order, the motion to adjourn is always in order. So that was seconded, everybody left. So the key is it will go to the membership to vote for up or down.
And what is that process in terms of length of time?
Just a couple of weeks. But that's a constitutional issue for us.
So could you tell us, give us a sense of, in terms of voting to end the strike, was it unanimous? Was it 50?
50, can you give us a sense? What, 98% I would say. I mean, there were some people that are just going to be diehard holdouts. Some people brought up that they're still very angry about the 4% raise, and they wanted that to be an issue. We have agreed to not continue to arbitrate that issue. And some people did not want that. They were not happy with the economics.
Karen, how did you sell this to your membership today, to the delegates specifically?
We didn't do any selling. We went through the terms article by article so people had an understanding of what was changed, what was new. The big bargaining team that we've had, as a lot of people may not know, we have 35 members of our rank and file membership with us at all times, who basically spoke. We said that it was time that we couldn't solve all the problems of the world with one contract. It's time to suspend the strike.
Okay, that was CTU president Karen Lewis. Right? Am I saying the name right? Oh, Karen Lewis, right? Karen Lewis, and that's what's her response to the strike. I'm gonna have try to some people call in that's gonna give you the behind the scenes of what transpired. I'm expecting Mr. Fina Troy, maybe Lisa Wyatt, and Tara Stamps, who was a part of the negotiation program process. I'll be right back after my 8:30 intro, because you know I do it at 8:30, everybody. Put my little kids to sleep, especially my little daughter, who listened to my show for the first half hour. So I guess after this, we can get over everybody or say the F word if you like to. All right, Dorothy T., time to go to bed. Here's your favorite song, my lady.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And so it's hard for me to show it. I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day.
I can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. One, two, three, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of be bop, bop, bop. Yeah, bass man, come on up. One, two, three, hit me. Sound good. Yeah, saxophone on the floor. One, two, three, hit it.
Listening to Breakdown, I played the Karen Lewis interview. I don't know if you heard it properly, but she said only 2% voted down the contract. Would that be a correct representation?
Well, I'm not going to speak against our leadership in the union, but that percentage is kind of off, and that's all. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Well, hold on. Let me bring my other guest in. She's also a teacher and a freedom fighter on the lines out here in the Shy. And she's a marauder. My friend, Ms. Tara Stamps, is also on the front lines. Okay, Tara, would you go as far as my friend, Ms. Troy here, and say that it was 2% people came out and said we satisfied with Romney's.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Is it fair to say that 2% of the delegates were satisfied with the proposal? I mean, 2% were not satisfied with the proposal, and 90% were satisfied with the proposal.
Solidarity.
Solidarity. Okay, I don't know. Listen, I'm not a delegate, so let me say that. So I don't know what happened in the House of Delegates, and although I am sure it was a lively discussion about the contract. So let me say that in any contract, not everybody's going to walk around, please, but when you're trying to make the best possible decision for hundreds of thousands of children in the city of Chicago and 26,000 employees, the consensus was this was probably about the best that we were going to get at this juncture, and that we had every right to feel proud, and it was certainly a victory. So because there's just a history of such aberrant, disdainful behavior with Chicago public schools, certainly there were a lot of teachers, mostly veteran teachers, who was a little gun-shy and was kind of like, about it. But overall, the majority of the teachers felt very confident in the wording and are operating in good faith under the leadership of Karen Lewis, that this is about the best deal that we're going to be able to strike at this time.
Okay. Destroy. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I mean, anything you want to add to that?
Well, let's get the language together here. Today was a vote to suspend the strike.
Correct.
Contingent. And I wasn't talking to you, Tara. You know, I was just making sure listeners are clear on that.
I appreciate that.
Suspension.
I don't know, but I don't know.
The end of the strike. And this contract, it has to be voted on by the entire membership. So if it is the majority says no to this contract, then there has to be continued negotiations. We're still working under the old contract at this point. And so there were a lot of issues. No contract is going to satisfy everyone, I agree. But we have to also look at this. Everyone, I think, had their own personal reasons for wanting to go on strike. Okay, we have schools in the system that have wonderful resources, while you have a larger percentage of them that do not. Okay, so but there we were unified because of a lot of things that the board decided that they would take away from us, like steps and lanes. Of course, taking our 4% last year. I mean, that right there. Now I won't even say taking. Stealing, okay, because that money was given to police and used to bribe principals for the longer day initiative and everything like that. Well, I mean, he just blatantly stole our money and refused to give it back, basically. So a lot of colleagues are still very bitter about that, and understandably so. And then to add insult to injury, you know, I just really don't understand why people think the little 3% in the first year, the contract, the two is a big deal, because we're still not being compensated for the longer school day that has been forced upon us. And also for those of us, all of us, we lost the 4% raise. It's like really no give or take on that. We're not being compensated at all for the loss of the 4% raise. So economically, we could have stayed on strike, because that's a strikeable, that's a reason to stay on strike, because that was the mayor's language when he filed this injunction, that we're having conducting an illegal strike. Well, that's not true, because if we're not okay, if the membership is not okay with the economics of the package, then we would stay on strike. But the mayor's media machine, they sent out a mantra in the last week and a half of these anti-teacher commercials playing, and they spent millions of dollars on that. Let's be clear, it takes millions. Politicians don't even run commercials the way they ran commercials, these anti-teacher commercials. So when this framework was agreed upon on Friday, there was a mantra put in the heads of people all over the world, really, that, okay, the kids are going to be back in Monday. The kids are going to be back in Monday. Like, this deal or these details that they had put out there were, you know, just like, oh, the teachers got everything they want type of thing. But really, that's not the case. We had some wins. We did have some wins. But when you look at detail like we were able to retain our steps and lanes, there are a lot of my colleagues that were like, we had steps and lanes anyway, so how is that a victory for us? You know, because those were things that the board was taking. They were trying to impose that merit pay initiative on us. We were able to completely take that out of the contract. That was a victory, because you have unions all over the country that have to do the merit pay, or the teachers have to do merit pay. So that was a victory. But economically, I think that it was an epic fail. We, like I said, we still have to vote on this contract, and I don't think that, you know, my guess is it probably won't pass.
Tom?
Let's see. I agree with a lot of what Troy had said, and I think the most pertinent is making it clear that this was a vote to suspend the strike. I also think that I'm inclined to agree when she talks about the media machine that was behind these anti-teacher commercials, and that could have definitely started to go against us. I think people initially saw it for what it was exactly, which was a vicious ploy. And people, the Sun-Times and Tribune, were obviously in bed with the mayor to put that crap out there, which got kind of dicey for us, because I think if it were not for the idea that people thought that this was coming to a conclusion, you probably could have gotten some more days out of it. But I also think this generation, at least with the teachers that I work with and that I've been meeting throughout this process, these are not civil rights hard people. They were not raised with that. They don't have that, many of them, as their part of their DNA, like I do, like you do, Jimmy.
Are you saying scared members?
Are you saying
that they heard that they're going to get their health care snatched from them, then they got scared? Are you saying that?
No, I'm not saying that. Don't be
That's not what I'm saying at all.
So what I am saying is this. They don't have the metal. I don't think they had the metal it would have taken to sustain a 19-day strike, is what I'm saying. I think that had we continued past this week, you may have even had people who were crossing. You already had principals kind of baiting folks. So what I'm saying is I think that we struck while the iron was hot. I believe that there was definitely some sincere victories. I think that we got the best out of the membership that we can get, because people didn't even think that that was possible. And a year ago, if you had talked to some teachers, it was very doubtful that people would have stood with a strike. So taking the temperature and the tone of what we came from to what we got now, I think is a quantum achievement. I'm inclined to agree that economically, yeah, there's definitely some issues there. But in a climate where people are not even getting raises, and then folks got some out now, people in Michigan got it out now, 20% pay cut, not even a freeze. I feel you, Troy. I want to hold on to this little 7%. But this is the other thing about that at least according to this knowledge that I have now, and I'm certainly not no guru on union legislature and all those particulars. Now, will I be after this experience? Absolutely, because I think many teachers fell asleep at the wheel under the last two administrators of the Chicago Teachers Union. And we
actually,
were not
the last
watching
three.
The last three. We were not watching the language. We were not watching closely enough what got said in those contracts, which made this fight even harder. So I'm saying that to say, I think if we would have carried this out longer, it would have been more of an uphill battle. I don't think we would have gained as much momentum as we're leaving on going further. That's what I'm saying. And I don't think
I agree.
Much of the membership would have been able to have the stuff, the metal, the balls, however you want to say it.
Fortitude. I got my lady Dana from DC. So, what was in the contract, and what did y'all think that y'all got out of the contract? Is that right, Dana? You said that, Dana? All right. How you doing?
Hey, Dana.
Right,
you want to know
what was in the contract, and what are y'all happy?
Are you looking at the contract now?
No, I'm not looking at it, but I have the stuff ingrained, really.
Okay, well, go ahead, and then go ahead.
Well, I still want to say that, you know, it was the issues when I took a poll of the staff at my school, you know, because as a delegate, I need to represent the interests of the people in my building, my members in the building. And so you had, our numbers were like 60-40 to suspend the strike. But that 40 had some very valid reasons for wanting to stay on strike.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that
you know, I was trying to get out of them, you know, was, well, what is it that we're going to say to the 350,000 parents well, all of them wasn't with us on the strike, but for that large percentage that really understood and respected what we were doing, how are we going to explain to them why we're staying on strike? So, or while we're still keeping the kids out of the classroom. So that was the major issue there, because we have this momentum, we have the support coming from all around the world with these different unions. So
right.
How are we going to explain? Well, there are some issues with this money, so we're not going back in, you know. And of course, the whole anti-teacher campaign would have continued. The commercial probably would have doubled every 2 minutes. And plus, Brizard, they had these phone calls that were going out to all the parents every night. Every day that we were on strike, they would call in the evening with some operators sounding real angry, you know, like they decided that we offered them this and we're not going to take that, and you know, in a very negative tone. So you're dealing with growing frustration
mm-hmm.
to support the base. So this is one of the reasons, and there was a point made by a couple of the staff members that I really had to chuckle at. It's like they don't even show up to check to see if Johnny Gray's looking. They're not even supporting this kid for a school year. You know, why should we care if they're angry? But the percentage of those parents that do care, how are we going to address these concerns? You know, how are we going to explain to them, well, Ron is not giving us our money, so that's why we're still staying out. So, and then we'll continue to look like the bullies, and we're keeping the poor children out of the classroom. So
mm-hmm.
I agree that in this climate, we would have lost the momentum that we had, because we're very powerful right now. And
mm-hmm.
some people may not see that, but we are very powerful. I mean,
we're
going to control how folks, politicians vote, because they see the strength that we garner. So I think that there are some pluses that came out of this movement. It ended a little soon, but I think it was time. I always use Denzel's line in Training Day, it's just test, not checkers. The struggle is not over.
The struggle,
if
I could just chime in, that was just the tip of the iceberg for me.
Right.
But I think he wanted more about what I think the steps in lane was one of the hugest victories, because that's how teachers
historically have kind of improved their financial standing by doing what was suggested to us when we came into this noble profession, which was to what? Be educated.
Right.
So, you know, what they don't talk about is how much education many of the teachers, and certainly veteran teachers, are sitting on. If you've been in this system anywhere between, like, you know, 12 and 15 years when they came along with all of these alternative educational programs, like I came out of a different background, and that was Teachers for Chicago, it was an impetus. It was a push for you to get advanced degrees. So you could conceivably now be sitting on 2 or 3 master's degrees.
Yeah.
And that wasn't talked about a whole lot. So the steps and lanes are important in that that's the way that teachers have been able to kind of create their own raise, so to speak, a little bit beyond the cost of living by having these advanced degrees. So being able to maintain and retain and maintain steps and lanes was critical.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was some language, there was some protections for the PSRPs and a raise for the PSRPs, which are your teacher aides, that they didn't have before that we were able to get, which I think was a huge victory on that front. Also, there were some PSRPs that were being basically misused by administrators in their building, and that was checked. So, you know, those are the things that are coming back to me, you know, because I just want to make sure that we speak to your question, which was what were some of the things that we were able to keep or gain that we were in jeopardy of losing, and those are two of the critical ones.
The merit.
No. The audience wants to know that. Hold on, before you go any further, I got a question. I got a question from Cleveland.
I'm calling from Cleveland. He asked what to ask you all, ladies. Hold on. You on, my man, Joe. You on. What was your question, my man?
Teachers only work 9 months out the year, okay? Everyone else has to work 12 months. I mean, why you want to go on strike? I mean, you should be there educating the kids, right? Okay, I mean, you're just going on strike, try just to get a raise. You only work 9 months out the year. I mean, golly, you want more than that? Then you want extra days on the strike? It's like you might as well extend this summer vacation. That's even, what, almost 4 months now. I mean, 3 months, you only work 9 months. What, you want another month? Take a strike? The kids need to be educated.
Okay. Now, can I go first? When I went on strike, I went on strike so that we can get better schools. Now, if you're okay with 40 plus students being in one class in 100 degree temperatures in a building that don't have air conditioning, then I understand your point. Okay, we went on strike for more than just money. We have to be informed on these things. There is a wholesale agenda that is taking place in this country,
absolutely,
in everybody's city, to close down public education schools in our communities and open up charter schools so that billionaire buddies can make money off privatized education. You have to be informed, brother. You just look at
privatizing. Wait a minute. Let me jump in, Troy. Privatizing education, which to the tune of $76 million that Chicago is giving to charter schools at the detriment of black communities and black children primarily. So I'm in accord with what Troy said.
What?
You got to, first of all, you need to know this, caller. Teachers don't go into education to get paid. Many teachers are qualified to do many other things. So being an educator,
I mean, it's the easiest degree to get in college. All you're doing is relearning what you learned in high school.
No, it's the easiest degree.
First of all, what are you talking about?
And that's the problem that I have. Listen,
you know what?
The easiest degree to get.
No, it is.
You know
not.
What? Can I say something?
First of all, I'm not going to defend my excellence and my expertise.
Okay,
what
your excellence and your
expertise.
The crime rate is on the rise. How much education do you need? We need charter schools.
So that's the fault of the teachers too, huh? Everybody wants to use us as scapegoats for societal ills. That is ridiculous. I have not once heard you say anything about parents reinforcing education at home. Why do we have to be social worker, counselor?
Because that's what
parents,
you went into the.
Teacher.
Because that's what you
no,
took.
No,
because
I,
that's
I
what you went into education
educate.
For.
I didn't go
you,
to school.
No,
to
we went
to
education.
40 kids in one class in 100 degree temperature. I didn't go to school for that.
You know
without
what? Can I say something?
You only work 9 months out the year. I mean,
why,
goodness
why do you keep
gracious!
Saying that?
People, federal jobs have to work 12 months out the year.
I only get paid
well,
for
and,
nine
and you
months.
And you don't even do 40
I
hours a week. What are you complaining about?
9 months. We're only off for 2 months. Okay. So
okay.
It's
okay.
I
have
okay?
blue room everybody for just 1 second. I blue room everybody. Thank you, my producer. Now we got about an hour left. Now. Let's start rolling our credentials here. We're going to start rolling our credentials right here. So my audience, you know, the 700, we have about 727,000 people out here strong in Armed Forces Radio that's filling on Jimmy Lee. Just so we won't sound like a bunch of cackling Negroes, we're going to roll our pedigrees. All right, 216. Now let's go to 312. Let's find out what 312. Matter of fact, no, let's go to 773 first. Let's go 773. I know 312 from 773. This is Troy. What's your educational background, and where did you study your educational or your master's program, what have you at? You on live now.
So I don't have to give those details, and I'm not going to do that. But
no,
I will
no,
say,
no, no, no. I hate to blow you again. It's not for you. My producer's put up a sign, and she's telling me to tell you all. This is for the audience. So we can know what type of teachers are teaching in CPS. This is a letter from my producer here. Normally, I let the cage match begin. I have no problem with it. It's good for my ratings. my producer, want my audience to know where CPS teachers, especially the ones that are passionate about education, she would like them to know, she want my audience to know where they got the education from, and that might help them know why that you're passionate. Now, let me go to 312 before 773 calm down for a second. Miss Beth, where did you get your degree from?
Well, my bachelor's, well, let me back up. First of all, I'm not going to participate in anything that can be depicted as a cage match for anybody's ratings. I hate
the
on any level. However, I take issue with our people who have been dependent on education to further ourselves as a people, trivialize educators. That's disrespectful. Now, having said that, I attained my bachelor's degree at Central State University, and I graduated with honors. My first master's I got at Concordia.
We ain't going for now. Yeah, we do have any, but we ain't got it for. We got time short. Now I got you back off the ice cream, Miss Trey. Miss Troy. And maybe you might want to participate in the cage match, but ain't nothing like black women in heat, but hey, that's
you know
the thing.
It really burns me out. People, it's so disrespectful. We're the profession that makes all professions possible, and to belittle us like our job is nothing is so insulting. You put your children in our hands, and to think so little of teachers is just really insulting to me. It is.
Can I get your background, my fans, Ms. Trey, please? Please, my producers are getting angry at me, you know, and I'm tripping on Ebony because she's getting mad at me. She pushes this question. I'm giving her Ebony's 5 minutes of fame, and she wanted to ask this one question. And your background is from where now?
Who are you talking about, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, okay. My BA, I got my BA at Tougaloo College.
Okay, that's Tougaloo College. Okay, hold on. We ain't going to go master's now, you know. But yeah. We're going basics now.
Pardon?
I got two black college women on my line right here.
And one of my masters.
Very passionate about educating African Americans.
Yes.
They might not want to get in a cage fight, but they will get in a cage match with Rahm Emanuel to make sure that children get their proper books and air conditioning. They might go down
absolutely
there.
Absolutely.
Now.
That's a righteous fight.
Okay, now, I'm about to bring 216 in. Before I bring my lady friend from D.C. in, who's watching it from the background. Now, I'm about to bring you in again, caller, from 216, and you can get to respond to what was going on, and then we can continue from there. And then I'm going to bring you in, Dana. Don't feel isolated. All right, there you go, Desert Storm.
Okay, I just, you know, I'm watching the news, and I see the strike, right? And I'm saying, man, these teachers, they only work for so many months a year. They don't even put in 40 hours a week, okay? And then every time you turn around, they want a raise, okay? I mean, the crime rate is on the rise. Evidently, they're not doing a good job. Maybe that's why we do need charter schools. You know, you need some competition. Maybe you get out there and really try to teach the kids, okay? Just don't do it for a paycheck and then go home, right?
You're ridiculous, and you're insulting. And if you knew any information, you would know that charter schools are not faring any better than regular neighborhood schools when it comes to standardized tests and educating our children. More than that, they're private institutions, and they're for-profit institutions. So they're not bringing a competitive edge that will make us teach like our hair is on fire. Now, Jimmy, I am going to say this. If there are any more questions that you need to direct toward me in terms of this contract and to further this conversation, I can participate. However, if you're going to subject me to being disrespected at the end of the conversation so that I can prepare to teach my kids tomorrow.
That's an excellent question because I have a couple of team members in my studio, and I was under the assumption that 216 was a teacher and had some educational reform to speak out. And that's why I decided to allow Mr. 216, Evan and Blue roomed him anyway. I allowed him to speak because he screened the calls at that time. I thought it was going to have why you get your feathers all riled up. Let me bring my friend back in from the District of Columbia. But bring down you and Dana. Yo, Tar. Now, I'm not out here like Jerry Springer like that, but I do like intellectual stimulation from women who can stand their own. Stop running. Dana, any questions?
Hey.
Yeah, there you go.
Back up. Rewind
that.
What did you say about running?
No, no. I just said to make you come back on. That's all. I knew that'd fire you up. That's all. I just want to fire you up because you're a marauder. That's all. I just want to find
you.
I know you're serious. I am not an educator. I am very well educated, okay? And without teachers, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I would like to first applaud the fact that you all went out there and stood up for the rights of our children. And it's not just my kids. It's all of our kids.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No other profession. Well, before I say that, I would like to also say that by striking, you all have also showed us what America is about. We're a democratic society. And so you all enforced your rights and stood up for what you believe in. That is a wonderful thing. Are you kidding me?
Thank you.
I agree. I think we presented.
I think we presented to this country and to this city and to our children
of the world,
the best example in the world of democracy. Democracy looks like struggle. Democracy looks like a fight. Democracy says, I believe that what I'm standing for is righteous, and I'm going to stay wedded to that belief till that's the end. And to me, that's what we need to be instilling in our children, that you just don't lay down and let people walk all over you.
And you have
Someone also wanted to know that all the seniority people get their pay.
Say that again.
Did all seniority people get their pay?
No. And that's one of the things, and that's why I hate ignorance, but that's neither here nor there. As a veteran teacher, economically, this contract did absolutely nothing for me. There were steps added on. I've been in for 18 years. This contract does nothing for me. We got longer day, and so we weren't compensated for that. And then really, it's only maybe a 0.5 to 1% raise for me. But that wasn't my major issue. My major issue was that we need resources to teach our children. Our children are being shortchanged. They are only putting resources in schools with students with magnet select enrollment.
Magnet and select enrollment
on the north side. Our schools are being ignored. They are being basically closed. There are about over 100 schools that are about to be closed in our community come December. We're fighting for our children. Don't insult the people on the front line that's trying to make change for your children.
The other thing I wanted to say
is, amazingly enough, no one else would be expected to work under those conditions. No one else would be expected to work under those conditions. You know what I'm saying? You will not find another profession that will put somebody in a place with 40 kids or 30 kids
40 plus.
And underpay them and expect everyone to do well. You can't put a room full of adults in that kind of situation. And then you don't blame the teacher for the failure.
Well, the crime rate. How stupid is that?
Well, let me say this. Just like public housing was set up, and you got to watch the language, because the enemy always announces itself in the language. So just like public housing was set up, it was neglected for so long, and it was neglected long enough so that it can implode, and then after it imploded, they said, see, it was bad, now we need to take
That's
down the projects and give mixed income living and all that other kind of hootenanny and
shenanigans. The same thing is happening to schools that are primarily occupied by black children.
And brown.
You know, people say there's black and brown, but quite honestly, it really doesn't impact Latino communities in the same way that it does black neighborhoods.
Ms. Devin,
and it's a whole other political thing that I'm not going to get into right now. So what I'm going to say is this. Black schools, primarily on the south and west side, are being neglected purposefully, intentionally neglected. And they're being neglected. They're asking us again to build bricks without straw. So they want us to work harder, longer, stronger, meaner, tougher, whatever, and be every other profession and be a teacher and get results. So what Troy is saying is what you all need to hear the most. Stop worrying about the contracts. Stop worrying about the pennies that we got. Stop worrying about all of that. The real issue is the privatization of public education in this city and around this world as it pertains to black kids.
That's
and
right.
When you do the research, you will find that it's the same entities behind charter schools are the same entities behind privatizing penitentiaries, privatizing anything that they can where they can make dollar out of black folks. It's slavery 2013.
Well,
it's new millennium slavery.
Well, Ms. Trey or Ms. Staff, either one of y'all can ask this question. I've got some other people in here that's from y'all union, also my studio, and they would like to know what was in the agreement that Karen Lewis, what's it again? I was a bit. What was in the agreement that was that she said that y'all saw that was worthy to spend the strike on?
I didn't understand what you said.
He's like, what was in the
negotiation
that today that made y'all suspend the strike? What was so prevalent in the contract that said that y'all decided to suspend the strike? Is that right?
I just want to go first, Tara.
No, I want you to go first because I think we just answered that.
Yeah, we answered that, but maybe they just chimed in. Well,
okay.
Personally, as a delegate, I had to go with the majority of my members at my school. Personally, I felt like the climate was such that we needed to say, okay, it's time, okay? But I don't agree with a lot of the language in the contract. It's not to say that I'm pro this contract, but I think the climate was such that we needed to go back.
The stamps.
Let me just say, I think when you're negotiating for 26,000 people,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get everything. I think there were some wins, but we also took some hits as well. That is the nature of the beast. Like I said before, I think because black teachers in particular took their eyes off the wheel in these last two, three administrators made this fight particularly daunting. It wasn't until we saw how bamboozled we had gotten previously that even rank-and-file teachers stood up, which Karen Lewis came out of the classroom to run for union leadership because of her disdain with these contracts. But what the real issues are the ones that I just talked about, which is the privatization of public education. What needs to happen now is that our communities must get engaged in this fight because it's not just about teachers. Everybody has to be accountable for what happens in our community, especially in regards to our children. So if the teachers got to be held accountable, the parents got to be held accountable, the elected officials got to be held accountable, the preachers, everybody got to, all hands need to be on deck right now. And I think what teachers did do successfully is serve notice that our eyes ain't closed about this right now. We're going to call it what it is. And just because you black don't mean you get a pass if you operating in opposition to what is in the best interest of the black community. So I think that this was a victory in terms of the awakening and the energy and the resurgence of fight that this demonstration has brought on. You know, classroom size, some issues. Now, let me just make this. There were some things that we was able to strike about.
Mm-hmm.
Compensation, learning and working conditions, those were strikeable offenses. Many of the things that was being talked about are things we're fighting about, fighting for. Classroom sizes, proper resources. All of those things are things that we say, no. We got to continue to apply the pressure because this is the real issues. So much of the language previously kind of like eroded away things that we could even strike over.
Right.
So teachers are just now regaining ground. So now we're at a place, I think, where we've probably been the most powerful that we've been in the last 15 years
mm-hmm.
as a union. And so we got to capitalize on this new power.
Right.
And in doing so, that's how you make folks accountable, because these aldermen are going to be dependent on votes. But I'm telling you right now from my mouth, if you did anything during this fight, were you aligned yourself with Rom?
Oh, we got you.
I'm at your head. We got the Black Caucus. We just established the Chicago Black Caucus within the Chicago Teachers Union because we understand that we needed to show solidarity. Because, listen, you got to understand that only 14% of the teaching staff of CPS is African American.
Right. They keep closing the schools,
and then you got veteran teachers. They're not hiring Black teachers in any kind of measurable way. So as
right.
teachers are leaving the profession, Black teachers are not being rehired. So again, which if you heard me speak at the rally, I said, stop your damn lying, because this is all by design. So all of these alternative education programs, Teach for America, all of these is the same entity.
Mm-hmm.
And that entity's sole purpose is to eradicate public education.
That's right. And get us out of this.
Black folks,
I think you're correct. I feel that the politicians here in Crook County are feeling you because I got the Senate bill that has passed at 70%. Re-instruct authorization. Funny about who all sponsored it, but when you click on voting for it, they moved even the argument and the answer on that sign on that letter. I can agree with that. Not since you said 15 years, but I don't think I've been since 80. Represented you properly in the negotiation skills. I don't know if she sold y'all out, but represented you all properly.
Find out who got that bad line. That might be Dana. For a second, hold on. Now we got
That's much better.
Okay, all right, Dana. That was you, Dana. Clear your phone up for a second. And we lost a 216 call, Ebony. He hung up anyway. They would like to know. Do you feel that? I got a room for union people in here. They want to know, do you feel that Sharon Lewis represented you all well in the negotiations? Are you satisfied with the negotiation skills? Not trying to speak ill of the woman, because I feel that she, under all the circumstances that she, for the record, that she was put under, given the harsh treatment that the mayor has spoke to her early off in the year, the people would like to know, do you feel that she represented you all well in your negotiations, if I'm saying that proper? Is that good representation?
Well,
yeah.
I like Karen. I love Karen a lot. And if you look at the last I've been through, let me see, Reese, who was a really good friend, close friend of Daly's. These are all the union presidents. Then you had Lynch, who just gave away our right to due process, where principals can just could just fire you or dismiss you. And then you had Marilyn Stewart, the last two contracts. One thing I will say about Marilyn Stewart, she got our bargaining rights back. So I'm not going to bash the sister. She did get our bargaining rights back. So that kind of opened up the door for us to be able to strike for this contract. Of course, Rahm thought that passing the SB7 law would stop us because of the 75% threshold to authorize a strike. We knocked that out the ballpark with our 98%. I think that the way that she and the leadership mobilized us in the city was amazing.
Well, someone saying this, and either y'all can want to comment on it or not. They feel because the CPS is full of principals anyway, and they are really wanting, they're assumed with having absolute power, that they feel that maybe Karen Mole might have been a mole succumbing to the principals. You all would not feel that same way, would you all?
Well, there's an anti-bullying clause in the contract that's never been there in specific language where you could file grievances against principals for a plethora of different offenses. So I think that was a big accomplishment for our leadership. Because it's now in language. So you can't have principals talking to you or berating you in front of staff or getting some secret information from that, something they heard, and then punishing you for that or something. So all of that is grievable, and it's illegal. That's the language that's in this tentative agreement so far.
And that's a plus for you all. How many pluses that you feel, Ms. Troy, that came out of the agreement, seeing how you said, being a delegate that you are, that given how many years you taught, that there was nothing in it for you, how many pluses do you see it in for your people that you represented?
Well, the retaining the steps and lanes was important. And I think a lot of our members, you know, they look at it this way. Well, we had them anyway, so how is that a win for us? The board had taken that away. The board, as a matter of fact, the board had gutted the contract that we are currently under. They had gutted the language in that contract, and it was almost like they were trying to make us charter education under this new contract.
Really, they were.
So what we were able to get back was that was an amazing accomplishment. I think a lot of our members don't realize that. It's kind of like, maybe the leadership got us kind of full. And then, of course, the momentum of the strike is like, we can get more. And, yeah, we can. You know, the struggle is not ended. We still have to fight to make sure that they won't close up every school in the black neighborhood. Because, trust me, they're coming after most of them. They have starved them for the last 15 years, and their intentions are to come and take those schools, turn them into charter
schools, and
gut them, privatized.
And say they're underpopulated,
yes.
The scores, whatever thing they can make up. Cause,
right.
Mm-hmm. What they don't tell you is that even though they have starved and neglected many of our schools, teachers are still producing,
yes.
You know, image over here on the west side, no playground, no real lunchroom, no gym, no a whole lot of things.
No library.
And they're still, no library, they still are like 85% or something, you know, so some amazing things are happening in spite of, and the only way that is happening is because you got dedicated rank and file teachers that understand,
right,
critically,
mm-hmm,
what I do in this classroom every day makes the difference in this child's life.
And also, we have to work under conditions where the parental involvement is paltry.
It's nil.
It is nil.
It's nil.
And I'm going to always give my example of the last report card pickup I had. Out of 150 of my students, only 6 parents showed up, okay? So that's the type of parental involvement that I'm getting and that many of my colleagues are getting. So we have to work and go under those kind of conditions.
And statistically, we know, and Matt Farmer, who spoke at several other rallies, who's an attorney and a LSC president at his child's school, you know, pointed out, and a white dude to boot said, listen, the reason that my kid's school can do better is because it's 95% parental involvement.
Right.
If you got 20-some percent parental involvement at these schools and they're being neglected,
mm-hmm.
what outcomes do you, you know, you get out what you put in,
that's
period.
Right.
So, again, we got to restructure the way and the conversations that we're having with our parents because they really don't see the bigger picture. But I always want to say, you know, my position is such, I don't care what the parent is or isn't. I still know that every day that I show up, they done sent the best that they know how to do. You know, given whatever their backstory is. And I'm not even really interested in what your backstory is because I can't fix that. I'm trying to get your child to the next level, and I need you to be in partnership with me to do that.
Well, let me hear what the mayor had to say. This is the mayor press conference. Only about 90 seconds of it.
Do we have to?
Oh.
I want to hear that live. Really?
That is what it means to have a new day and a new direction for Chicago's children. Here for the first time in a decade, our parents will have more school choices and our children will have more educational time. That is what it means to have a new day and a new direction for Chicago's children. With this agreement, our teachers will receive higher pay, and our students will have a higher standard of education. Chicago is a national leader in putting in place the National Common Core Curriculum to raise standards in math and reading. We are making the college attendance the expectation, not the exception, for all our students. We have taken $500 million out of our central office and put that money back to work in our classrooms, where it belongs. We will save where we can so that we invest where we must in the classrooms. I want to thank the negotiators on both sides. Thank parents and taxpayers for their patience. I want to thank, again, all parents. Now, citizens work together. So we are not just a city of big shoulders. We are a city of big hearts. Now our students and our teachers and our principals can return to classrooms across our city where Chicago's future is being shaped. Now that the negotiations are over, our most important work begins, providing every child and every community
Yeah, that was the mayor right there. Oh, y'all. That was the mayor right there. So he feel that, I guess he says he got what he wanted. Y'all got what you wanted. And what upsets me is, I don't know if it played out, he says that he wants every child in Chicago to get an education up to his and her potential. Now, I may have mentioned earlier about the show that earlier said that what? Only 25% of people in the urban area is going to graduate anyway. So I'm wondering if his rate of potential is just only to educate 25% of the African American.
Okay, let me answer that for you. Yes. follow the language.
Right, though. Let's get let's get that right. I don't want to misquote this message. He said,
with a missing finger
and
a tattoo.
Huh?
I said, with a missing
digit. When he had a lunch with Karen Lewis, and this was right after he became mayor, he said that only 75% of the children or the students in the education system was worth spending money on. So, of course, that missing 25% is I just want to clarify that statement.
All right.
And, of course, he lied and said he never said that.
Okay, I knew I heard him say it. I heard him say it. That's when he said.
I don't know if we should say something.
It's a herpes. So I mean, it's like the goal is in his mind already. Only 25% is worthy of rearing or saving, and so he's only going to make sure that 25% of. It's like what? That's like 25% is like 10.2.5%. You can't add three points in there. I ain't good at math. But and so that's almost like 10.5% of the south side, 10.5% of the west side to get to 25%, right? You know what I'm saying? To get to 25%. But if he's only going to make sure that people have choices, which is a very key word in that statement.
See, that choice is key. Choice used to be a voucher. And when the parties that be that was behind the voucher system realized people that was a negative connotation, they switched it to choice. So
right.
Whenever somebody needs use choice, you need to be very, very suspicious of that language. And I'm saying follow the language. But this is the opportunity though that Chicagoans have. And when I say Chicagoans, you know, I'm saying Chicagoans, but I have a particular interest in investment in black folks. You now have a tide of energy and focus that you can capitalize on. So for him to say he got what he wanted, he did not know, because what Ron wanted was to gut our contract.
Right. He lost.
We were supposed to walk out there with nothing. We were supposed
right.
to be covered in a cloak of shame, get in there and do your damn job and be happy you still got one. And unfortunately, that's what the rest of the country was acting like they wanted teachers to do as well, which I'm just appalled by. Because beyond this being a teacher's fight, this is a worker's fight. There's an attack in this country against laborers. Against good, decent folks who just want to make sure that they can have their little portions. That's it. and the greed and the sickness of their greed, which is biblical.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Their greed and their disdain for people of color and certainly poor folks of color is biblical hatred.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's. I know I said earlier this about like a little 70-second soundbite of I got some union members in here of your union leader. This is Karen Lewis. This is today after I guess everybody overwhelmingly voted for the strike suspension. Karen Lewis, it's muted. It's muted.
We feel very positive about moving forward. We feel grateful that we have a united union, and that when a union moves together, amazing things happen. They will be.
Tell us the status of the members of the delegates voting on the agreement as well.
No, they didn't have to. It's an advisory vote. People were actually elated to take the suspension of the strike vote. Someone called for an adjournment of the meeting, and as you all know, by Robert's Rules of Order, the motion to adjourn is always in order. So that was seconded. Everybody left. So the key is it will go to the membership to vote for up or down.
And what is that process in terms of length of time?
Just a couple of weeks. But, and that's a constitutional issue for us.
Can you give us a sense of, in terms of voting to end the strike, was it unanimous?
No, it's like, 98-2%, I would say. I mean, there were some people that are just going to be diehard holdouts, and some people brought up that they are still very angry about the 4% raise, and they wanted that to be an issue. We have agreed to not continue to arbitrate that issue, and some people did not want that. They were not happy with the economic terms. So.
How did you sell this? Membership delegates specifically?
We didn't do any selling. We went through the terms article by article so people had an understanding of what was changed, what was new. The big bargaining team that we've had, as a lot of people may not know, we've had 35 members of our rank and file membership with us at all times who basically spoke, we said that it was time to, that we couldn't solve all the problems of the world with one contract, and that it was time to suspend the strike.
Okay, that was Karen Lewis. Is that a good representation, Ms. Troy? I'll get you into Operation Blue for a second. Was that a good representation of what happened? And I know you've been a delegate. Is that a good representation of what happened? Transpired.
Well, I'm not going to tell.
Oh, were you the diehard holdout?
What happens in the house stays in the house.
Okay, are you the diehard? Somebody want to know. Were you the diehard holdout that she was talking about?
I have to represent the interests of my school.
Okay.
So I voted the way that they wanted, the majority wanted me to vote.
That's Hyde Park,
and
right.
That's what I had to do.
Well, I have no problem.
You don't have
I
to say names.
I'm not tripping because I got Ms. Troy holding it down for my high school. I ain't tripping because I was proud to just fight to make sure my alma mater get booked. So I ain't tripping. You know, I'm Republican and I ain't with these damn unions, but I stand solidarity anybody trying to educate these children out here.
Did you say you were Republican?
Yeah, all day long. But anyway, Tara, so yeah.
Say you're Republican.
Yeah, I'm Republican. Yeah, straight up, all day long, just like your mama. Anyway, Tara,
so
was that a good
Republican?
Yeah, die hard. Anyway, Tara. I didn't know Obama can't attribute out that, but anyway, Tara, was that a good representation of your leader?
Yes, I think it was a good representation. I think what I feel most proud about with Karen is the way, as this process,
was the way that they kept the membership informed.
Yes.
I never felt out of the loop. And if there were teachers who were saying, well, I'm not sure, then unfortunately that was their fault because there was regular emails, there was regular releases, there was regular, you know, the organizing with the delegate and the bodies. And, I mean, it was just it was well organized.
Yes.
And the information was readily available, and it was the most transparent process I've been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a point where you had some questions, there was always a person available to say, listen, I'm not clear about this. Can you walk me through this? So I never felt like I was just in this by myself as a teacher. I'm not a delegate. I'm just, you know, a boss, I like to say. So people were under the impression I was a delegate, but I wasn't. So I appreciated not being a delegate, actually, because then I could just kind of sift through and take care of some other business. But I think that Karen represented us extremely well. I think that when she was articulate, when she needed to show a little bit of, you know, I got a little lead in me too, she was able to show that, and I think you need to. I don't think black folks should ever divorce themselves to, you know, from that. That people need to know that you are socially and linguistically ambidextrous, that you don't. So I'm going to meet you where you at. So if you keep it 100 and professional, I can do that. But if you want to get straight, I can do that too. So I appreciated that she was able to handle herself in that regard. But the biggest thing is that I think she ushered us into a new level of activism and informed activism.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just a lot of people rally around, wah, rah, bit, boom, bah, we excited because we're striking. Because actually, it was a tiresome.
Yeah. I wanted to be back at work.
She is saying what 99.9% of the teachers, I want her. But we knew, again, what we were on was a righteous fight and that we could get some victories out of this. And what I said early in this process, Brandon Johnson, who's a very good friend of mine and one of the key organizers, was, you know, all people got to do is believe that they can win. If they believe they can win, they can fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say to him, whenever you're going around to talk to these schools, tell them, we can win this. Because people were tired. People had had enough. But they hadn't found their voice and they hadn't found their footing. So there was a particular alignment of situations and people that made this possible. But what we must do now is capitalize on this vigor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we say capitalize on this vigor. What do you mean by capitalization? You mean by taking
The bull by the horns and using your power for good. I mean, what do you mean, Ms. Stamps? You know, I know you
yeah,
have
what, to use it for good opposed to evil. No, what I mean chiefly, is quite yes, taking the bulls by the horn. Like, let the dust settle. I'm gonna give y'all a week to go back to y'all classroom and kind of reconfigure, wrap your head around what we need to do for these babies. But after that, and that ain't no more than a week, we got to, you know, reassemble. And I'm calling all black educators in the city of Chicago who may be listening tonight to gather with the newly formed Black Caucus of the Chicago Teachers Union so that we can start ordering some Freedom of Information Acts, seeing what these folks' voting records are, seeing
Absolutely.
Who signed what, seeing which preachers got what monies and what payoffs, so that we can have the ammunition, which is information, to take them to task about their cowardice.
That's right. Sign me up. Sign me up.
Well, listen,
and their tendency and their frequency to sell us out. And not only are they sell out, but they cheat. So not only you a cheap sellout, which is even more painful to watch. You nickel diamond, you slime. I'm so pissed right now with them.
Can you hear me? They do what President Clinton called the double down on the trickle down.
Let me tell you something. I understand being afraid, right? I'm afraid a lot of the time. But what I cannot afford is a coward.
Right.
Because fear says, damn, this is a daunting cash. Shit, we might get crushed. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to ride out. Cowards say the same thing. They're like, no, go on here. Y'all, let me know what happened. I'm in my office. So that's what I mean when I say capitalize on this vigor. And I mean, we got to craft some conversations with our parents. We got to start checking our parents the way these charter schools check our parents. Because they get their money, and they get their attendance, and they get their participation.
Yes, they do.
Well, I agree with you, Tara, everything you're saying. That's why the Martin Luther King Republicans was rolling with the teachers union on this time. Even though even though the Martin Luther King Republicans are for choice and vouchers to give African American children an education, but the principal reason why I felt that majority of the 14 percenters I called out there striking was for just cause and reasoning, because I am a product of public schools, and I, hearing the 14% and why they really was fighting, and most of the 14% was not about money, it was for resources, and that's why we had stood with them, and I was really
that's
shocked.
That's why I was fighting, because I didn't get nothing really in this contract. Because even with steps and lanes, I'm in lane 4. We have 6 steps. The only way that I would move over if I get another master's or go get a doctorate or something like that, but I intend to, but I don't know whether or not I'll still be in education. But this has always been a community fight. And so the vigor that Tara is talking about, we really need to wake the community up. And it's so unfortunate that we only wake up when something happens to us directly. But they're not understanding that this is happening to you directly. These schools are being starved. Your children are being starved of the resources that they should have, just like the Northside kids or the kids that
Absolutely.
Are down in the village are getting. They should have those
Absolutely.
Same resources. They're not getting them because they basically intentionally are starving these schools so they can close them. Now, when ROM in December, then you're going to have parents like, oh, my God, now I have to send my kid to some school that's over in another neighborhood or whatever. Then they'll be concerned. But it's so unfortunate we have to get to that point, you know, where you're going to have all these schools closing. You're going to have all kind of teachers out of work because we're allowing them to just come into our communities and control our destiny. We have to change that. And teachers can't do it alone. We have to do it as a community. We have to fight.
I agree with you on that, because I was shocked that state senators like Maddie Hunter, Kwame Raoul, even the great Reverend James Meeks, even though I know he's for choice and vouchers also, that sponsored this bill. But, you know, as I look at the people that sponsored it, I'm just upset that they was not man or woman enough to put their voting records of who voted for that passage of that bill on the Illinois House record. But then, as I noticed, all the aldermen who signed the letter suggesting y'all go back to work, I was funny looking at the names on that list. And then,
well,
let me say,
quite a few of them rescinded when our strike got at its highest peak.
The very nature of these commercials is disrespectful.
On the upside, those commercials work. Those commercials work because let me tell you why they work. When I heard you on the radio, Tar, that's what made me change my attitude. Like, damn, what Tar on this? Well, let me look at it another way. Because I'm in my studio before the strike happened, arguing up and down against union people, yada 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 yada. And I'm saying that's how commercials work. I heard your commercial, then I took another look aside of it. And then I hollered at my lady Trill, or no, Philly Trill. She said, "Well, I'm striking because of ABC." Now, well, damn.
It didn't bother you.
I always get on the train late, you know. Like I said, you know.
They were racist commercials.
They were stereotypical. All those ladies
was missing with some Aunt Jemima hats.
Oh, man. It was ridiculous. I'm like, and black, we let too much happen to us, and we say nothing about it. It's not okay.
And then they didn't call them nothing because they had a series. They was getting so good at it.
Right.
Every time something came out, Emma and Jean was back on radio.
Right. And you know what? People were repeating every word they said when you talked to them. So y'all taking a vote? Before the summer or something. I mean, they were regurgitating these commercials. It's so sad.
Because this is the same. You got to understand the mindset of our people. These are still the same people that won't watch the news, but they be like, "Girl, did you see hip-hop?"
Right.
So, you know, and it's not even just our people. It's this country. You know, we dumb down our country. We want an uninformed electorate.
Right.
We want people, we want them to have a wag the dog thing. We want stuff to be going on right here. You all caught up on this BS over there. That's why, you know, I want to get back to this point, Jimmy, and I know you about to take us off because I know I got to go to sleep.
I'm suspending the game. I'm going to give you a little 2-minute break because, you know, I love international simulation.
The first
I got 3 minutes for us to give y'all a little shout out to my audience. Go on ahead. 216, I'm sorry you hung up. I was going to bring you in, but you left already. Go on ahead.
The fight that the community can actually participate in and have some say in and have some sway in begins right now.
Yes.
And it begins with showing up at your kid's school, understanding what the curriculum is, understanding what's being asked of the teacher, and participating. We're not asking y'all to solve their problems, but just make sure they do the homework. Don't come at me talking about my son saying he don't get a homework. Be our partners in this struggle for progress. The other part to that is we got some postcards that's been being distributed to the membership and need to be going out to the outer community to say, "I stand with teachers." Each of those postcards goes directly to the alderman, and we're going to start having regular sessions where groups of people who live in particular wards who are educators hand-deliver those postcards to the alderman and say, this is who I am. I live in your ward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the mother of the kid got an organization
like
this at all. Oh, I'm just saying, we can help you out. We can help you with that also because we with moving these janky Democrats out here that's holding down the black man. Don't look at us Republicans that's the one doing it, you know what I'm saying? Just like your mama said back in the day, man, these crazy-ass Democrats in the city holding us down. You know what I'm saying? But that's another story in itself. We'll deal with that for another
time. But what about your guy Romney? What you think? You still, you know, that's the guy?
I'm going to point something out.
You didn't talk about that today.
Listen. I'm going to deal with that. Romney's going the way of Bob Dole. Romney's going the way of John Kerry. See, I'm like a 47.
No, that dude is crazy. He ain't going the way of nobody but Romney, the uninformed, the person that's not in touch, has no business trying to run for president.
Now, I was going to deal with the 47% tomorrow. I didn't want to last the last 4 minutes dealing with the 47% because that was a campaign killer, and he has a killer's campaign after debate over foreign policy issues. Now, I got about 4 minutes to go, and like I got to do my last little 4 minutes, I'd like to give everybody a shout out. And I'm going to go with you first, Dana, because you got your phone on this wild ass echo. And I don't know about you being in D.C. if I got your boy monitoring my phone calls because I do be having a hot topic. So, okay, Dana, I'm about to put you in now, so please walk away from your computer. All right, Dana, I got 4 minutes. Give it to me now.
I am so impressed. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You all have inspired me. You all have inspired us as a country. And I'm so thankful again for what you do for these children.
My hat's off to both of you guys.
Thank you so much.
And all the people.
Thank you. We don't ever hear that enough, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Right.
All right, Jay, I'll be on the mall, Jenny. You know that, what's going on Wednesday. All right, Lisa, I mean, Fina, Troy, you have anything to say to my people out here?
Oh, let me say this real quick.
Go ahead. Who's talking?
That was taller. You know, Brizard is going to be at Trinity tomorrow. They're asking folks to come out. If y'all got something y'all want to ask, like where he been, because you know he went off the radar.
Right. Yeah. My deal was this. It's funny. When the shit hit the fan, the black man he brought in to calm y'all down hit the road. He brought the white guy with the fat eyebrows in. He comes up front. And then at the press conference, who's standing behind Ronnie Monroe? The big black guy. I'm like, make your mind up. I mean, where you going to be at? And I might be down at Trinity Suits. See what he has to say, because I guess he's doing his victory lap.
We're red.
He ain't doing the victory nothing. The church is behind the teachers 100%. Pastor Moss wants everybody coming through the door to be in red. Apparently, he was supposed to come sometime before, and magically, he's come back on the radar and asked, can he be down? Can he come and just say some shout-outs? So my thing is, you know, be respectful of the space, but we need to show up in numbers and say, you know, nigga, where you been?
Right.
I
don't really got no kicking for him because, you know, the nigga is out of a job. I just want to know, nigga, where you been? You know, we was playing Where is Waldo? Where is JC?
That is easy because he did disappear. Anything you want to say, my listeners, loose for the last little 9 minutes I got from the audience?
Oh, Lord. Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah,
you need to stop getting these people to call in to get me angry, okay? I'm going to stop falling for that.
Lisa, no, it's
okay.
It's you.
That's
you.
What I'm going to stop doing.
Well, put it like this, Lisa. I'll say this. You had an angry guy that would call in and argue with Dana, but all of a sudden, he looked at you as your point was a king point. I thought, Miss Troy, I thought you was the only person that can calm everybody down that calls my show. But evidently, you must anger people in Cleveland, you know. You must anger people in Cleveland because people in Kansas City, they like you now. But the people
you know,
in Cleveland,
my thing
I don't
is,
know.
Y'all don't complain about these basketball players making all these millions of dollars to dribble a damn basketball, but y'all want to wild out on teachers who done went to schools degrees and degrees over, had to pay them back and teaching black babies how to read and think reason so that they can have a decent quality of life. But y'all know what I'm saying about black folks dribbling damn basketball getting paid untold millions of dollars. We got the game mixed up.
Oh, it's mixed up. It's perfect. It really is. So sad.
Well, that is
you need to stop doing that to me, Jimmy.
We got that.
Do it on purpose.
Yeah, okay, hold on. I guess I want to say something in the last 30 seconds. Okay, 216, but you got to say 216. I got you in now.
Yeah, I wanted to say charter schools were created because the teachers had no solution to these overcrowded classrooms. So now they created charter schools. They created charter schools to take away those kids out of those overcrowded classrooms.
Okay.
Now, you have no solution for those overcrowded classrooms but charter schools. Thank you.
Forever excusing your intentions, and I give in to my pretending, which forgive you each time. But I hope you know, they melt my heart to stone, and I hear your
voice. That was Ebony putting everybody back. Thank you, Tara. Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Athena. All right. Good night, everybody.